Hello and welcome to the Cruel Summer Podcast. My name is James.
And my name is Marco Sparks.
And we're back today to talk about Season 2, Episode 4 of Cruel Summer, Springing a Leak, written by L. Treatman, directed by Ben Hernandez-Bray. I forgot to look that guy up, see what he's done.
He's fascinating. He's done a bunch of TV direction, but he's also a prolific stuntman in the industry.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, he's in Star Trek as a stuntman.
Yeah.
And Iron
Star Trek, the 2009 film. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's aired June 19th, 2023. I'm just going to go out and say, parts of this episode are so bad that I thought it was written by AI.
Are you talking about all the parts, like the family dinner, like that kind of stuff?
That and the stuff leading up to it, mm-hmm. and everything after it as well.
It's as though the person writing it is not a human being. Yeah. And so they're like, yes, this is real dialogue that human beings would speak. Yeah.
Or
wasn't great.
Is it rewritten to shit? Because I feel like it's been
smoothed over so much, like, I don't know, translated to another language and translated back. Like, it's all so bland that there's just like, yeah,
news radio where he has the biography,
donkey. Yeah, there's just like, there's a complete lack of, I don't know, humanity in it. You know, it's like, yeah, it does kind of feel like AI.
Well, like, we found out like a lot of the issues we had with The Perfectionist were just that show was like rewritten to shit at different times. But on top of it, the writing and the performance of certain characters, like Debbie needs to be
Debbie
wearing
does
a
not
helmet,
read like a real person. Yeah, no, you are right. She,
like, she seems like a moron.
Yeah,
like,
I've got a lot to say about her towards the end of the episode.
Like, Megan, you should be getting a check from the government to like take care of
mm-hmm.
her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to tip over to offensive. I've already done it, but like, fucking A.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I should say up front, I avoid spoilers, of course. I have heard that supposedly, and by I have heard, I mean I heard someone this on a podcast, supposedly this show gets marginally better after these four episodes. We will see if that is the case. I'm dubious, but
what podcast is talking about this show? It's
a friend of the pod. And, you know, S1E10 contributor, Caitlin, on the Riverdale Register.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which I think we have to try to get her on again for the finale of the show, just because people enjoyed her so much the last time.
Yes, please. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear another human being fucking talking about this show.
I mean, she was speaking broadly, no spoilers, but it sounds like her problems with the show are the same ones we've been having, so, you know.
Cool.
She's like, the mystery kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. But supposedly it gets marginally better after this episode. So we'll have to wait and see. But until then, we have to slog through this fucking episode, Springing a Leak. This time the title makes sense. Congratulations, I guess.
In the dumbest way possible. Yeah. So
I feel like there have been like over the course of TV history, there probably been like six other episodes that are either titled Springing a Leak or something very similar about some sort of like household maintenance, or like maybe like in a sci-fi, like ship maintenance, like something to do. It's like one of those like bottle episode type things where
what's the Buffy one? Just, flooded.
Yeah, exactly. Flooded. Yeah. It's like, there's some episode like this where it's like, oh, we have to deal with financial issues.
Yeah. Anyway, this one takes place between July 23rd, 99, December 23rd, 99, and July 23rd, 2000. Follow-up wise, there were some tweets that I don't totally recall.
Right on.
One of them, I couldn't tell if they were making fun of us or the show or both. I don't know. Don't make me feel bad. I don't know if you're making me feel bad or you're making fun of me, the show with me. I don't know what's going on there. I'm a very simple man. Hmm. So there's also, cinematography wise, there's almost like a extremely watered down, stepped on Sam Esmail-esque framing to a lot of the shots of the conversations.
It's kind of like, oh, we're doing something. Yeah.
Well, it's like everyone is like off to the extreme, like far, you know, trimester there, facing out of the frame in their conversation. I was like, okay, but like in Mr. Robot, you're really getting a vibe from that, and it's conveying other things. But like in this, it's like, what am I just looking at the back of this so-called dive bar? What good is this doing me? What is this for?
Yeah, and also like the color tinting or whatever they're doing. I just went back and looked at season one. I was like, it wasn't this bad, was it? And in the like the latest timeline in season one, they went a little too blue, maybe, you know, but it was mostly more washed out and kind of like bleach bypass. But like, even though the timelines were recognizable in that other show, I feel like they rely a lot more on just like the characters' appearances to set the scene, where here it's just like it's so overdone that it just looks awful.
Well, like it wasn't like, oh, I dread looking at that timeline because it's gross looking like it is here. I mean, the winter one.
Looking at it right now, it looks so much better. Like even the bluish like 1995, I think, timeline, like it just, it's like bleach bypass, like, but it looks like a nine. It looks like an appearance of like a 90s like vibe. You know what I mean? Like,
well, there's like a fake Buffy and Faith dancing sequence in this that transitions to like the lights bright up, and then suddenly we're in the winter timeline, and it's like it's so washed out that the sky is just white.
Yeah.
My big thing is, why is this show set in the 90s? It really doesn't need to be.
Well, you know, we had all that cool hacker stuff in this episode, you know? We had to set it in the 90s for that. Oh, can't wait to get there.
But like,
good point. Like, there isn't
anything... All the expressions like a boss. We didn't say that in the 90s. Why don't you just set this now or like 5 years ago? Pre-Trump, post-Trump.
Seemingly,
I don't know.
Just because the other show was set in the 90s. Yeah, I don't. It's a good question.
Anyway, this is the episode where they play All-Star. That's what you need to know. Anyway, summer 99.
I have notes about that as well.
Good. Well, speaking of shit songs on the radio, we start with Lenny Kravitz's Getaway.
Which was the one. And Lenny Kravitz is fucking the corpse.
This is the one where I was like, when this is the song first came out, I was like, I think I like you, Lenny, but this is the laziest songwriting I've ever experienced in my life.
He wrote one riff. He just played it over and over again. Also, they're not doing the weird rewind thing, like the weird rewind sound effect. They're not doing that now. I don't know why they were doing it for one episode.
Yeah. So Megan and Isabella are hanging out in Megan's room. Megan's bored, says they do the same thing every summer. Go to the marina, hang out at the cove, lather, rinse, repeat. Isabella, meanwhile, is like perched on her bed in this almost seductive way. Like she's Sarah Michelle Gellar in Cruel Intentions. Like she's just like, come eat me, Megan, or whatever. Megan says that there's like no surprise in this town. She wants to change things up, maybe live on the edge, maybe even kill a fuckboy.
So I guess they're friends now after the whole run away from the cabin thing, and then like run into her mom, like making out with a dude and like sharing, you know, real shit or whatever. I guess they're just friends now.
It now seems very criminal that man impregnated that woman twice. She doesn't know what she's doing.
Honestly, it's like, she kind of messed up.
Yeah, you can't call that consent. Megan is like giggly and says that she's like tired of being Megan Landry, boring, responsible, honest. The Sadie, I can't remember her last name.
Sadie Stanley,
who I don't think is horrible. She's Kim Possible. But like, she is going to do a lot of giggle acting.
A lot of I'm drunk having fun. Yeah, I wrote one note down for this episode, which is that this episode does the thing I hate, where they have to have characters suddenly start acting in a different way, or like it's like stuff's important to them that wasn't important to them in the previous episodes, because they have a plot that they need to tell. They have like, you know, story points they need to hit. So it's like, guess what? You're really obsessed with this now, or you really want to go do this now. And it's like, where was this before? It doesn't matter. It matters now, because now we need to sow mistrust. So now you're going to suddenly be jealous of your boyfriend and Isabella when you weren't in the previous three episodes.
Right. But not the bad girl streak, because she had that dumbass thing in the pilot. But yeah, she's like, it was like, you want to be a bad girl? And she's like, well, not like committing crimes bad, but more like taking risks, going adventures, being unpredictable. And Isabella, classically out of time, Isabella is like, you don't have to convince me. Unpredictable is my brand.
Yeah, we were definitely saying that back then, talking about your brand.
What's the word I'm missing about the
anachronistic?
Thank you. Yes. Jesus fucking Christ.
I mean, at one point they mentioned Live on the Edge, which I was like, maybe an Aerosmith reference. Like, A little Alicia, please. You know?
Please.
No, nothing?
Please.
No. Yeah. Do you guys know this is set in the 90s?
Back the fucking money truck up. Why isn't Alicia Silverstone playing Debbie?
I mean, I don't know if I want that for Alicia Silverstone, no. But yeah.
Well, she
but yeah, you would think they would have gone and found some 90s starlet, you know? I mean, that's
she would have, yeah. I think, would have marched into, what's her name? Seventh Heaven lady's office and been like, look, Cher Horowitz wasn't a moron. I'm not going to play a moron on this show. So Megan's all giggly again, and then we end the scene on a bunch of Lenny Kravitz's yes. Winter 99.
The worst fucking song, man. Like, are there people out there? I always wonder sometimes, like, songs on the radio that we could play all the time. Like, do people like that song, or do they like Give It Away by the Chili Peppers? Does anyone actually like that song? Because I play it all the time.
Well, I mean, I would posit there are Lenny Kravitz songs that I like.
Sure, not that one.
That is, yeah, not that one. Mm-hmm. Give It Away was definitely a product of, like, I've just heard that way too fucking much. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I feel like in the 90s there were DJs who were like, hey, it's time to play Sail Away Again or whatever the song is called, yeah. Or Getaway. But instead, I'm just going to play Are You Going to Go My Way, because fuck it. Yeah, so 99, the winner. Megan's up in her room reading the internet when Isabella comes up, and Megan, what a fucking dork, has just read the coolest article about white hat hackers.
I'm sorry, this just doesn't sound like someone who Megan is supposed to be would say. I just read the coolest article about white hat hackers. Like, this doesn't sound like a girl who is actually, like, you know, a hacker, you know, who's like into computers.
Also, but you know what we didn't really do in the 90s? Read articles on our computer.
Not really. No.
Not really.
Maybe like chat rooms, you know. Yeah, but articles. I mean, what are you on? Ain't It Cool News or something? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, fucking message board post. Yeah. Well, like this Usenet. This GeoCities ring.
In both the writing and the acting, they have not convinced me that this is a person who's super into computers and like on her computer all day. Like, I work with some of those people, and they don't act like this at all. You know.
They don't like get giggly and then like hack the Department of Licensing, like, for
tap, I'm hacking. Yeah, like it's just
transparent background image. Yeah. So she explains that they look for security holes in big company systems, fix them for hackers get in, you know, like sneakers, but exclusively with computers, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I don't think were we calling them white hat hackers back then? I don't think so.
Maybe that would have been very much on like the forefront.
Would she have been like, I just read the coolest article or message board post about some elite hacksaws?
Do you know about Kevin? We need to free him. RIP, by the way. Guy just died recently.
Oh, recently?
Yeah, like in the past week.
Well, because maybe he saw this episode. He was just like, free Kevin. I'm out. Kevin said, Megan says the guy in the article went to the same school as her, UW. Wow, so convenient. It's something she could do in college to make money. Since it pays really well, she could even do more to help out her mom and Lily. Is Lily aware that her mom is just dumb?
Her mom works at like the real estate company or something, right? That Steve runs.
Let's just jump right into this later. Later on, when like two scenes, this is how angry I am that I have to get to it now. Megan says when they need to borrow money from Steve, Megan says it was bad enough when he was just your boss. Mm-hmm. But now you're dating him and it's worse. And I'm dating Luke, blah, blah, blah. So she implies that she was borrowing money from Steve to pay for things while his employee before they were dating. Which, if you work in finance and your employee repeatedly can't handle their own finances and needs to borrow money from you, do you let them anywhere near your fucking deals with a capital D?
One wonders, where does the money go? I mean, they're doing the whole like single mom struggling thing, but they haven't totally convinced me that this is like a real thing and not just like I feel like this whole show is like they had an idea, like just this general shape of what they're trying to do, but the way they've executed it is just like complete hack work.
I'll say this for Steve, I believe he's a real guy. He's just a fucking dirtbag and an asshole. Debbie might be a robot who is breaking down. Mm-hmm. So Isabella then asks if Megan is going to see Luke later. We hear a noise that almost sounds like a car and then a crash. And we hear Debbie elsewhere in the house yell, crap! And down in the kitchen, a chunk of Rufus collapsed and is leaking water. So Debbie has like a metal tub so catching the water. She's already shut off the valve, hoping the water will shut off soon.
We see a big hole in the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so somebody's like, what happened? And Debbie's old like, pipes. Old pipes. Like guess mine. They gave out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she's like, Nothing. Everything is so ho-hum. Nothing phases her. Oh, I guess they just gave out. What are you going to do? Like, does she have a metal call the plate
plumber.
In her head?
I just love the all call the plumber. Like, do they have the plumber, like, written down next to the phone yeah. or something? Yeah. Like, what plumber? You know, like, let me go look in the yellow pages to find a plumber.
Well, yeah, as Megan goes to call the plumber, she's just like, oh, another bill. So summer 2000.
Well, and Isabella is like, like doing her like her sad girl face.
Yeah. It's nighttime and Megan's like sneaking something out of the house into the trash can. I don't understand now the layout of this property. The trash can is by another structure, which may be a garage. They never park their cars in the garage. Yeah, so what the fuck yeah. is that building? Why doesn't Isabella have a room in that building?
I don't know. But I don't know. I guess Murder by Numbers hasn't come out yet. So maybe what's her face? Megan what doesn't know that this is a terrible idea, what she's doing here.
What a wonderful movie compared to this. That movie is fascinating. Because
I would go watch that movie. Yeah.
Have you seen it before, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's got yeah. fucking Michael Pitt, enemy Michael of the Pitt. Pod.
Yeah, Michael Pitt, who's doing like young DiCaprio. Gosling's mm-hmm. doing like young Brad Pitt. And I think Sandra that's the one Bullock. Where Gosling started dating Sandra Bullock afterwards. And I can't remember what's her name. Agnes whatever, who's like the girl. It's a good movie. It's an interesting movie. It's an interesting Leopold Loeb dial in for murder movie. So Megan's actions could be read as sneaky here, I guess. She's being watched by Isabella, who then sneaks out of the airstream, runs over the trash can. The way she runs is fucking hilarious, because it's like half Snoopy dance, half like Naruto run. Like her boobs are just propelled forward, her arms are backwards. Did
they get a memo from like the studio or the network just be like, can we just see less clothes on Isabella as much as possible? Like in the previous tits. Scene, she's just like, yeah, I know. She's like sitting there and it's like incredibly cleavagey, like bikini macrame thing just inside for no reason at all. It's like, okay, I guess that's where you're going.
So like Bobby Freeform Jr. is just like, anything to make me think of the blue bikini again. yeah, so it's like this loose pajama top she's wearing with these like red lips on the torso. She goes to the trash that Megan dumped, finds a bag of looks like a bloody t-shirt or a bloody shirt in it. Surprised by this.
I don't know what to do with this. Like, what is this?
For all I know, they're eating pizza. Debbie's wiping her mouth yeah. with like a shirt.
Because like this is not like presumably the blood would have like this would have been stained like 6 months ago or something, you know. Yeah. Like yeah. Was she just hanging on to this like evidence for that long? And it's like, I better go dispose of this by putting it in the trash can outside my own house. Like,
you can't do three fucking episodes of interrogation room scenes about Luke's murder and the cabin, and we don't know when he actually was killed.
No,
like, is he been dead for a month or dead for 6 months?
They've already told us he was like drugged and drowned. So what does the blood have to do with anything? They said he like grazed his ear, a bullet did. Like, yeah.
I have my theory, but like all my theories, there's nothing in the show to really go on. So all your theories are bad, you know?
Well, so Isabella finds this like bloody, you know, clothing or whatever, and kind of like looks around and is like making that face that all the characters make on this show, because the show writers are like trying to keep everything vague. And so we're like, what is this? Is this guilt? Is this intrigue? Is this suspicion? Like, what am I supposed to be getting from this character? Like, I will not be shocked at all if it turns out that like Isabella is doing this because she's like covering up for Megan. She's like, oh, Megan's about to make a mistake by throwing this away, so I'm going to go grab it, like, to, you know, like keep it from the cops or something. Like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to be getting from her acting here.
Either that, or I hope that this is a trap set by Megan, because it's too dumb. I can't believe that Megan is this dumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Miss White Hat Hacker Girl here.
Yeah, so title card, and then we're in summer 2000. Megan is sitting in the living room getting some shit from her lawyer. This lawyer is like a non-character, but like, dude, quit this case.
Yeah.
Like, if your fucking teenage client can't even answer a fucking question, just leave. Walk away. He points out that she said that she took Luke home, but now they know that she didn't go there. So where did they go? And she said they drove around for a while. So he has to keep pressing her on this, asking where they ended up. And
frustrating. It feels like a viewer of the show being like, hey, can you give me something to work with here? Like, what are the facts here? So I can at least like try to build a narrative and make this interesting to myself.
Well, at one point I was like, is there a script? Is she fucking improvising this? Yeah. Like, after some hesitation, she says the cabin, and he's like, well, fuck, the murder site. Right. Would have been nice to mention that.
And she just glares at him like, okay, I don't know why this didn't come out 6 months ago, but for some reason it's all coming out now.
Well, it's like, okay, you're sticking it to the lawyer, but it feels like you're sticking it to me, the audience. Mm-hmm. It's like I was talking about the movie Jumper the other day, and I remember that initial voiceover from Hayden Christensen, where it sounds like he's like, hey, audience, fuck you. Now watch my movie.
It's a good attitude to have for that movie, really.
Yeah.
So we cut to this. That was like a seemingly kind of like tense reveal, and oh man, she's even worse trouble than we thought. To somebody once told me it's who all star playing, and it's just like, you can't do that with this song. Like, I'm sorry, like, this song is like so preloaded with like weird memes and comedy now. You can't just cut to like a couple of dudes playing frisbee on the beach of the lake. Like, it's like an AI did this, and they're not aware of like all the context that the song has.
You'd think that whoever, like the freeform social media person, would weigh in and be like, don't do this to me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Do you not understand the internet at all? So it's an overcast day at the beach, I guess. Jeff and Luke are tossing the frisbee back and forth like a bunch of goddamn dorks. Mm. Meg and Isabella are chilling in a blanket in their bikinis watching this nonsense. Like, they're not real characters.
Yeah.
We see that Jeff's video camera is just there for no reason. Megan's telling them she wants to go someplace different tonight, just someplace fun. And Jeff, my poor boy, Jeff, he's like, well, Woodstock would be cool if it wasn't 3,000 miles away. Mm-hmm. Oof, Jeff. Oof.
Why would you think that was cool, Jeff?
This doesn't need to be a 90s thing.
Yeah.
Especially for those references that goddamn bad. So Isabella suggests a club. Luke says the closest thing they have in a club is the Brownsville Pub, and that's a dives bar. I'm just saying, I don't want the combination of dive bar and a place called Brownsville.
Megan,
same sense.
Big card, so you have to be 21 to get in, and Isabella's like, that's dumb. I mean, most countries don't even have a drinking age. Shut the fuck up. Like, every time Isabella's like, I'm so worldly. By the way, I just act like a completely normal teenager from American suburbs.
Also, that's not true. I would argue most countries do have a drinking age. Yeah. It might be different than ours, but they do have one. Even in like most of Europe, it's still 18. So I would have understood a show being this bad if it actually came out in the 90s, but this did not. So Luke says that Brent is a fake ID, but he'd never let him use it. Thanks. Jeff's like, I mean, I'm pretty good at Photoshop. Maybe I could figure something out. And Megan's like, you want to make fake IDs? And it's like, why not? You're the computer genius. Maybe you could help. I don't know if that's how you combine skills.
Oh, we'll see how they combine them later, though. It really works out.
Yeah, in my fucking face. Fucking mm-hmm. Art Garfunkel and Paul Simon here of hacking. Megan says that it's kind of risky, and Isabella's like, exactly. So Megan decides, like, fuck it, let's do it. And Luke is stunned. He's like, wow, you're in? And she's just like, here's some more giggles. I really took a big hit of laughing gas this week.
So, winter 1999. By the way, happy Festivus, December 23rd. This does not feel Festivus-y to me.
No.
Other than like some random Christmas lights in the background that you can barely notice because everything's so washed out. Like, this does not read like Christmas at all.
Well, you got the two Chambers Christmas trees. You've got a Landry House Christmas tree. There is the airing of grievances.
You know what? Yeah, that's true. They do have an urn of grievances. You know what really works great if you were trying to set a Christmas mood is like the colors red and green, which all like the color tinting here really destroys on screen.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're panning over buckets and rags in the middle of the kitchen, the desolation there. Debbie's like showing the plumber out, and he's saying to her, well, let me know when you have the money and I'll schedule the crew. Okay. And she's like, thanks, and shuts the door. And she sighs and comes back over to Megan, and she's just like, he wants $6,000 payment in full up front. And it's like, Debbie, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Well, also, that's not how you pay your plumber. Mm-hmm. You don't pay in full up front. You've been getting ripped off. I feel like she's been getting ripped off
for decades. So Megan's like, we can tap the emergency fund. Debbie's just like, ooh, yeah, it's gone, actually. Between the roof last year and Lily's retainer, fund's empty. And Megan's mad. She's like, you got to tell me this shit. Like, if I'm like paying the bills anyway, I need to know what our financial situation is.
Like, oh, and I can't get another loan from the bank. Like, her affect is like she's a fucking Dana Carvey SNL character. Like, mm-hmm. didn't want to stress you out, hun. So
at one point, Megan's like, I mean, for once, it would be nice if you were the grown up around here. And Debbie just takes that, isn't like,
yeah.
No, don't say that to me or anything. She's just like, wow, I'm just going to fucking roll over and have you slap me around.
Well, I feel like she's like, yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Megan's like, you can't have it both ways. You can't lean on me to help you pay for things and then keep me in the dark. Which the thing is, even the 90s, working your ass off at this like diner place, you're not going to make enough money to pay for your family to live.
No.
So.
She says she has $900 in her savings account. And the mom is like, that's for college. I'll talk to Steve. And Megan's like, we can't ask him for help every time something goes wrong.
Also, what is $900 going to get you? Like four books at the campus bookstore?
Yeah, really.
Megan's like, you can't keep asking for Steve for the money. You know, it was bad enough when he was like your boss, just your boss. It's 10 times weirder that you're dating him and I'm dating Luke. Also, the sex tape.
Mm-hmm.
So just.
And then Isabel walks in and it's like, hey, here's $5,000. Can I help? And they're like, no,
here's the thing. She was going to ask Steve for the money until Megan stopped her. She is about to take this money from Isabella until Megan stops her.
Mm-hmm. Later on, she will take the money from Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of. Oh, mm-hmm. like she wakes up.
We will get there later. I have so many issues with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wakes up her fucking coma, her pill coma. Isabel says there's nothing more she'd rather spend the money on, like their family, you know.
She's got an envelope with $5,000 cash in it, just chilling.
Which I guess is the one we saw at the end of last week, maybe. But, you know, their family, and Megan's like, so are you in all the best ways. This is like from her parents who just send her a big thing of cash.
It was supposed to be for a Christmas present. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just more creepy, like, I'm family in all the ways that matter. Like, what the fuck? Like, this is just weird. You haven't convinced me that you're this close, you know what I mean? Like, you keep saying it, like, it just seems like you're weird and obsessed with this family, and they don't seem bothered by it at all.
Well, and there's so many just drop nuggets, like earlier when she's just like, are you gonna see Luke later? Mm-hmm. But like, Debbie's like, well, in the meantime, we can't stay here tonight. And I started to lose my fucking mind, because I was like, Debbie, if you propose a hotel after you just said you can't afford basic things. But she's like, so pack a bag. I'm sure Steve will let us stay with him. Mm-hmm. God damn it, Steve, like, don't kill your son. Kill this woman. She's an anchor.
Well, everything about Isabella here, it's as though she has no inner life. When she's off screen, all she's doing is sitting in her trailer thinking about Megan and like how she can like, you know, be more part of this family. It's like, what is your own motivation, really?
So I have like 1.5 Isabella theories for later.
Hmm. Can't wait.
I have no idea where the show goes. I've like, it's been so easy to avoid spoilers for this show because they're nowhere.
Yeah.
No, I mean, unless I go to the Reddit or actually look up the show online, like, mm-hmm. they're nowhere. No one's talking about this.
All right. So fake ID scene. Jeff is on, he's come over to the house. He's using Megan's computer, and that is not Photoshop, but okay. The computer stuff in this, I'm sorry. I'm trying not to.
Do it.
He's supposedly using Photoshop. It's not Photoshop. He's making a driver's license for what's her face, Megan here. The name she's chosen is Liz George, which is Elizabeth George, which is like a murder mystery writer. Sure, they all do writer names. I guess that's just.
But they don't fit.
No,
they don't make like
Robert
sense.
Robert Ludlum. Yeah,
it doesn't make any fucking sense with the others. So.
You would think that, like, oh, she's a hacker. She's going to, like, pick a computer name. Like, I'm like, Eliza Turing or something, you know? Like something that would, like, go with their personality at all. But no, it's like just, like, writer references.
Like, the bouncer's going to be like, your name's Ada Lovelace? Seriously? Your name's Hedy Lamarr? Seriously? So Jeff is like asking what town Megan wants her fake person to be from. And she's like, oh, Seattle, because that's where UW is. That's where I want to go to school. What about you? And he's like, I want to go to film school, baby. So it's either going to be USC or NYU, where all the great directors went. You know, George Lucas, Spike Lee. It's all the directors I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, please, my dude is going to Full Sail.
Fucking Full Sail. They've taken a lot of money from many a wannabe filmmakers.
Yes, they have. Well, I have always wanted to see an article following up with that, because supposedly their thing is they'll give you job placement.
Hmm.
I'm very curious how that's ended
up. I talk to
these guys
all the time on the phone. They call in for software help. Yeah.
Oh, Full Sail would?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, the people who went there. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's almost like my professors don't know shit.
Mm-hmm.
So Megan's like, it's cool how into filmmaking you are. And he's like,
it's just not a real thing somebody would say.
Well, he gets even better because he's like, people mostly don't understand it, but it makes me happy. And I get to create my own little world. It's like, are you taking Debbie's pills?
This is the dialogue he came up with. This is so blah. It's so nothing.
Oh, God.
So he's like, oh, check it out. And she's like, oh, it looks amazing. And he says, the watermark is missing, but it's impossible to copy. And she's like, we'll see about that. Let me do some tap, 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 tappy hacking here. Oh, look at that. I'm like hacking the like the DMV of Washington. And I somehow, like through a terminal window, gotten access to like the image file they use for the watermark. And he just like drags it on top of the ID image. And it's like, poof, there it is. It's perfect. And just, okay, sure, yeah. sure. I'm not going to say anything. Yes, that's computers work that way in 1999. I'm totally certain of that.
Also, it's weird. Washington State actually does have a Department of Licensing on a DMV. It's very weird. So she does some hacking shit, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you know, being a computer nerd does have its advantages. I get to create my own little world. Also, she gets an AIM private message from CBabbage5. He says, I can show you some shortcuts for C++ if you want. I'm a pretty good teacher.
What is this? You can't just introduce this in episode 4. Like if this is gonna like be relevant later, it's like too late in the game for that. I feel like.
Well, so presumably it ties into the report card thing later, or is it like a lot of things in AIM? Was it just about sex?
I have no idea. I assume this is a reference to Charles Babbage, who's a mathematician. It's so weird and random that I don't know what to do with it. But then she's like, "Okay, work your magic," and he like fixes the license, and they're like, "We make a pretty good team," and so it's. It's just this really awkward kind of flirting, but like kind of hesitation to like come out and like flirt openly. You know, it's all very corny, which yeah. Sure. I mean, these are both supposedly introverted people.
Dorks, just huge dorks from the planet Dork, ambassador of dork membership. So Summer 2000, cyberpunk Megan is like still in the living room meeting with Tom. And he's telling her that this is real life and not fiction, that this does not look good for her. So Debbie's watching the other room, like probably wondering if she should be concerned, but also probably trying not to like put her finger in a light socket at the same time because they sure are shiny. The lawyer asked Megan when she was last time she saw Luke, and she's like, oh, it was early that Saturday morning. He asks if she's been back to the cabin since then. She says, no. Is there anything else?
Well, she says, no, we obviously know that's a lie. So we're like, okay.
Yeah. He's like, you know, we can't afford any more surprises. Need to be prepared for whatever's coming. And she's like, nope, that's it. It's like, Tom, just quit.
Yeah.
Just quit.
Yeah, take the money you got. Run.
Yeah.
Well, this was a scene where I was like, I think I know what's fundamentally wrong about this season of the show, in addition to the many other issues.
Everything?
Yeah. Is that in Cruel Summer season 1, there were two characters, and they both obviously had some secrets and some stuff that they like were not revealing to people, but only they kind of knew their own secrets. Whereas here, you have secrets between Isabella and Megan that they both know, but they're just not talking about. And I feel like that makes it much more frustrating. Whereas like in season 1, a scene like this, we wouldn't know the answer. We wouldn't know that Kira Aurelia's character is lying. And so it would be really interesting to like study the acting and be like, and trying to figure out like, is she lying? Is she telling the truth? You know, like you right. can kind of go both ways. The acting is very subtle. Whereas here it's just like, we already know you're lying and we know there's some secret that you and Isabella have that you're just deciding not to talk about for script reasons. You know what I mean? Like it's just not compelling because of that.
Oh, none of the writing or the actions are giving way to the shape of the whole.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like writing a shitty script of shitty characters and you're like, oh, but internally they were thinking epic thoughts. That would have made an Oscar winning movie. I just decided not to have them talk about those things. Yeah. It's like, okay, then it's not there.
Yeah. That whole interrogation scene with Laura is just like so boring. It's like we're getting nothing from her. It's obvious that she's lying. We know she's lying. The lawyer, in theory, doesn't know she's lying, but he must know she's lying because she has like pretty obvious tells. And so it's like, what is the point of this, really?
You would think that Tom, when he's driving home, listening to like his like Nirvana CD in his car, is thinking like, wow, I've met the sheriff of this town. And the only thing I've ever said to him is either we're here for the interview or interview's over. Because my client threw me another fucking curveball. Summer 99, Megan and Isabella are getting ready in the Airstream. Isabella's like doing her makeup. Megan's going through Isabella's clothes. Megan says that she wishes she could rewind to that one night and not see her like mom kissing her dad, because that's criminal. That dad shouldn't have been kissing that woman. She's not competent to
What if he's doing? Just like railing the mom right there, like outside?
Oh, I'm sure there was some finger blasting, right?
Maybe.
That's why they didn't come running after her right away. Isabella like says to put in the rear view, just move away from anything that's bad. And Megan's like, so like denial. And Isabella's like, I mean, it's worked for me so far.
Character it's moment.
Like, well, it's like, you're not Don Draper.
Yeah.
There's an interesting shot of Isabella in the mirror, like seemingly almost talking to herself this. But then she's like telling Megan that tonight will be amazing. She's like, you and Jeff are crazy cute.
He's excellent at Photoshop.
Yeah, we see Megan reflect in her own tiny mirror. And Isabella like almost like snorts at how dorky that is. So Megan says that she feels like she can really be herself around Jeff. That's shocking. Mm-hmm. Just like she can with Luke, which Isabella takes notice of. So yeah, Megan borrows some of Isabella's clothes and admires herself in the mirror. We reverse match cut from that to winter 2000.
She's holding up clothes, but it's not like to model them. She's just doing it for some reason.
Yeah,
because she's talking to Debbie and she's like, I really don't want to go to this like douchebag's house tonight. I just want to be around Brent right now, not after everything with the tape. So like the official story that we're all running with is that Brent
took
the video, right?
Because this is my question. Are we supposed to believe that he made some tapes without girls' consent. Those girls were minors. But those presumably featured himself in them, right?
Sure. And but also, nobody knows about those except for, like, I think Isabel does. And Megan and Luke. But the mom, Debbie, doesn't know.
Parker, maybe.
Steve knows. Parker maybe knows. Debbie doesn't know.
Yeah.
But supposedly the official story is that, like, Brent did it, right? Like, he leaked the tape.
But even though he'll later on have no clue that it's Megan on the tape. So if he took the tape, he would know this.
Exactly. And they should know, hey, he seems to think that it actually was Isabella on the tape. Therefore, it couldn't have been him that made the tape because he would have known that it was Megan.
And there's no denying that Brent's a fucking creep. But I have a weird feeling that Brent doesn't want to watch his little brother fucking.
Probably not, no.
Yeah.
And I mean, so, maybe you could say like, oh, he's being so shrewd and pretending that it's Isabella because he doesn't want to out himself as being the one who shot the tape. But he doesn't seem like that kind of a clever fellow. I think if he knew it was Megan, he'd be saying so.
How is this like somehow more convoluted and less interesting than the NAT club?
Yeah.
But Debbie says that Brent had no right to do that to her. You know, sex is supposed to be private, not blasted out in public. So Megan says,
Mom, this is a real mother-daughter heart-to-heart, but the dialogue is just so...
Oh, her affect is about to get so fucking bizarre. Megan says in the bed, Mom says, you know, Megan could have told her about her and Luke having sex. And she's like, your first time? That's special.
I really wanted her to say it wasn't my first time, but no, she says it was.
But like, there's no question there. It's just so weird. That's special.
Like me. And then like, Megan's like, oh, that tape, I can't believe you saw that. Wish there was something I could do to make it all disappear. And Debbie's like, me too.
Megan thanks her mom for not making her feel worse about it. I don't know if Debbie's incapable of doing that. So summer 99 outside this Brownsville pub, which looks like it's the fucking Double Deuce from like Roadhouse.
If only, man.
So Isabella's like,
she'd be taller.
Yeah, Isabella's like checking to see if everyone knows their cover identities. Jeff is Raymond Chandler.
This scene is so dumb, by the way.
Yeah, and painful. Jeff is Raymond Chandler, which I feel like PLO owns those kind of references.
Have you ever been questioned about your ID ever?
No, never. Not once.
Oh, you're born here, huh? What's your sign?
Yeah, what's your...
Where are you born? Where does it say you were born? I need to quiz you about your identification.
Do you like fast cars and fast women? James Dean. Yeah, which Megan's like very proud of the Raymond Chandler nom de plume. Isabel's quizzing them all about their fucking cover stories. So, like, Jeff goes on a whole thing, and Isabel tells him to like take it down a notch, don't improvise because it'll always be bad. So when Luke steps in of his fucking like Robert Ludlum identity, there's this whole thing about I like fast cars and beautiful women.
Is he supposed to be charismatic? Is this what the kids are calling Riz? Because God, I hate this character.
He's like calling him mid is an insult to mid. But like, I just wish that a beautiful woman would drive a fast car over him. Megan's is simple. She's Liz George from Seattle, Washington. Actually, no, back to fucking Luke. Is he going to like have amnesia and end up in the ocean like he's Jason Bourne? Like what are we doing with the
Robert
Ludlum reference?
Would this character be more interesting if he were 3 inches taller and, I don't know, like had like brooding good looks? You know, like, it's just like such a black hole.
And like, I don't know, like a more desirable physique.
Yeah, you know.
I don't want to.
He's just like kind of a weird, scrawny rich boy.
Yeah, I don't want to botch him. And I feel like the scene in the car of him and Jeff kind of confirms that, like, that's Luke's place. He's just like the scrawny rich kid who doesn't realize that he was born on third base, thought he hit a triple, yada, yada, yada. So yeah, Megan's a simple. She's Liz George from Seattle, Washington, which I don't think where Liz George is from.
Born June 25th, 1978. So like you've been 21 for a month. Like, come on, guys. You got to make yourself at least 22 to make it realistic. Like, don't make it seem obviously fake.
This makes the whole McLovin thing seem brilliant.
Yeah, really.
Says you're an organ donor. Isabel says that her Patty Highsmith character does not need a dress rehearsal. I think we did see the Patty Highsmith ID in the pilot or the first episode, the repilot.
From the 2000 era, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just to remind everyone how the shitty Beatles here do not align. Patricia Highsmith, Elizabeth George, Raymond Chandler, and Robert Ludlum.
Shitty Beatles, are they any good?
No, they suck.
Yeah.
So the Robert Ludlum one, for the most part, needs to go. It's the worst.
I mean, why not just be like, I'm Jack Kerouac?
Seriously. Dean Moriarty over here.
I mean, it's like you had an opportunity here to tell us something about who these people are by the fake names they pick. Instead, they just went for like weird writer references that don't really seem to fit any of these characters at all.
Like
Jeff is not like a Raymond Chandler. You know what I mean? Like,
no. Hold on, I need to look up. What's the lady that she and her girlfriend killed the girlfriend's mom? Then she went on to become a famous.
She and her girlfriend killed the girlfriend's mom. Heavenly Creatures.
Heavenly Creatures. What's that?
Wow, I was right. Melanie Linsky.
No, not the actress. The author.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Good question. Hold, please. Yeah, guys, hang out. We're going to Google for a second.
We're just going to Google for 5-10 minutes. Might take a piss break.
What if we just like went down a Wikipedia rabbit hole on like some random serial killer?
It'd be so much more interesting. Mm-hmm. I guess the data girl was obsessed with Dorothea Puente. She drove by her house the other day.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Sorry, Ann Perry. Thank you. Sorry, everyone. Mm-hmm. I'm suffering from a lot of like, I know this normally, but my mind's not latching onto it. Yeah, why doesn't Megan just be Ann Perry? Ann Perry and Patricia Highsmith, I could kind of see.
Give
a thing.
Us something to like, when you look the name up, you're like, ooh, is this somehow a hint as to the nature of the mystery? No, you just,
This is how 1,000 dumb things were created, like on the PLO, like wiki and Reddit and what have you.
It'd be interesting. They were lost, you know, like a weird philosopher's name. It's just like, oh, here's some random ass writers that don't really seem to correspond to their personalities in any way at all.
No. So Megan is giddy because the ideas look so real and calls Jeff Photoshop master, which I would argue that he's on the council, but the Photoshop gods do not give him the rank of master.
This is outrageous.
So they head for the door and Isabella tells them to remember what they're supposed to say, which kind of whatever.
You don't say anything. You just hand them your ID. Hey,
go see your ID. 20. Yeah, sure. Or like if you're really concerned, add a 20 with it. The guy's not going to wave you in.
What's my sign? You might not have heard of it. Its name is Hamilton.
Well, also, I'm a guy. I don't fucking know what my sign is. That's what you're supposed to say.
Yeah, I know.
I don't care what time I was born. Winter 99, Debbie's like driven Megan and Isabel to Steve's house. Lily's not with them because she's not a character. So Megan's
where
like,
where is Lily? Do they say?
That she's staying over at Olivia's.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So Megan's like, so we're just going to smile, pretend that the Christmas party and the tape never happened, which should give us like,
that's right,
nothing to talk about. So Bill says that Megan should have taken the money. Then she tells Megan that she was joking when she made that comment like less than half a second ago. And Megan's like, well, money's always complicated, like Hannah and Caleb's relationship. They get into Chambers' house, which is a fucking hotel. It's not realistic as an actual house or even a McMansion.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like the entryway to like a senior living facility, like clubhouse. Seriously. Or something. Yeah.
I would love to know where they actually filmed this because it's not a home.
This whole scene is so awkward because Steve is there and he's just like, oh, I guess I better call Brent down here to say hello to you guys. Brent, get down here. And they just like stand around awkwardly for 10 seconds as Brent doesn't come down. And he's like, he'll be there around later. I guess he's playing a video game or something.
Also, Luke says very loudly to Meg in this entryway, "We're sneaking you into my room later for a sleepover."
It's like, guys, you kind of just got busted. Like, play it cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so Steve is like usual Steve. Debbie senses something is wrong and asks if he's okay. And he's like, "Oh, so-and-so backed out of the Northland deal because he can't do business. People don't share his values." And she's like, "Oh, gosh, Steve, easy come, easy go. You know how it is."
You had nothing to do with that tape, although it was at your party and it featured your son.
You know what would make this episode fucking great? That's if they had a lot of like glass walls and stuff in this, mm-hmm. this house, and Debbie just kept walking into them. But then it's like she gets up, she dusts herself off, and then she walks right back into the same one.
So he says, "Doesn't matter, it's done." When someone like that, someone like Wayne Bright, when he spikes a deal, it's like signal. It sends a message to all the other investors. So I'm dead in the water. He doesn't seem dead in the water in summer 2000. So no. Sure. Yeah, I don't know. Like
I brought the JCPenney here.
If in summer 2000 he like they weren't living in the mansion anymore, or he was like, you know, broke, or you know, like just something had changed, like that might be interesting, but no.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the Chambers kitchen, Megan walks in followed by Isabel and Luke. There's like a weird shot making sure that we remember that the backyard and the grill behind the bar is over there outside.
I think it's telling us that the window has been repaired. Maybe.
Okay. But that's not the room where they broke the window.
Wasn't it? No. I think it is. I think it is. Like over on the side, yeah.
No, because there's like 17 different windows in that, whatever they filmed that thing.
Well, no, so the outside is definitely different, but I think it's supposed to be the same room on the inside. Anyways,
this show is bad. Luke is pulling some meat out of the fridge and says that FYI, Brent's on the warpath and that Steve's making Brent work for him next semester instead of going to school.
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, but like she's like,
"I'm going to punish you by like screwing up your college education by making you work at my company." What?
And having you get paid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Megan's like, "Really? Because of the tape?" And he's like, "Yeah, baby doll. I told you I had it handled." And she's like, "God, talk about a Christmas miracle." It's like, what fucking Christmas miracle? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Megan wants to take a shower because that's what she was going to do before their pipes burst, which sounds like a euphemism. Luke says, "Sure," tells her that the clean towels are in his bathroom and that Alma, presumably the housekeeper, made up the guest beds for them. He also tells Isabel, he's like, "Oh, by the way, Alma made those crispy potatoes that you like." And she's like, "Wow, really? Great." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, by the way." Yeah, Alma says, "Hi." And Megan's just like, what the fuck?
This is the first look from Megan of like, wait a minute. Do you guys used to date or something? I find this kind of weird and unsettling.
You've got like inside jokes with my boyfriend's housekeeper?
Even though I definitely witnessed you like making out and who knows what else past summer. But now this is all new to me. I'm like, wait a minute. How do you two know each other?
We may or may not have had Fargo sex in the same room. Yeah. Summer 99, we get to this like close up of, or we cut from this close up of Megan to Summer 99, where it's like a close up of Megan at the door of the bar with the bouncer holding the fake ID in front of her face, determines if it's her or not. Like, so there's always a chance we could be doing something interesting here with like identity issues, but we're not going to. Like holding your fake identity in front of you and being like, do you live up to it? No.
So Megan and Isabella get in, and then it's Luke's turn. Megan is like, "That's so easy." And she's like, "Be cool." Megan is, and then Luke is like, he's about to go in, and then the bartender bouncer's like, "Wait, May 28th, what's your sign?" And he's like, "My sign." And Jeff's like, "Yeah, you know, dude, your zodiac sign." And he's like, and the bouncer's like, "Beat it, psychic, beat it, kid, you're psychic too." And so they can't go in.
And you know what's even more suspicious? They put up no protest.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Like you're a rich kid. Like you're not gonna haggle.
Yeah.
You're not going to pull out some cash, whatever. I just kept thinking of that Community episode, the fake IDs, where she's like, "Relax, Annie. We're hot girls. We're good for business."
Yeah, really.
So summer 2000, Megan is back at the police station for lawyer.
There's a whole lot of Isabella's here, Jess here, and they're all just kind of staring at each other. And maybe they know more than they let on, but they're not talking about it. So we're just left to wonder, why is it? What's going on between Megan and Isabella that has them looking at each other the way they do?
Well, sweet gig for the actress playing Rebecca. You show up in this week for one wordless scene.
That's right. But that is her. Wow. Yeah.
So Megan's back, by the way, back in her Trinity gear. She's no longer like dressed like a prairie wife. Yeah, Jeff's at the counter for some reason. Yeah, a lot of eye chatter. Tom's the only one who doesn't know what's going on. Interrogation room, the sheriff drops a letter in the evidence bag in front of like Megan. And he's like, this is the letter that Luke wrote to his dad. So he's running away to going to Virginia. And he's like, by the way, Megan, your fingerprints are all over this. So
why didn't this come up 6 months ago?
Yeah.
I remain curious.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I always asked you, you said you never knew what Luke was planning on leaving. So like, how do you explain this? I talked to you many times. Well, she gives in and says that Luke had told her that he was going to run away. So Sheriff points out, like, again, you never fucking told me this. And she's like, oh, I was protecting him. And he's like, so you were doing that by lying about dropping him at home, lying about leaving, lying about the letter. He's like, I want the truth. Why did this guy run away? She says, she doesn't know. She's like, he was scared. She doesn't know of who. And so this one, the lawyer's like, well, we're done. That's my only lawyer move.
We're done. Unless you want to arrest my client, we're leaving the interview, which like, why doesn't he arrest her at this point?
Yeah.
It seems like he's got enough to like not hold her, but at least like, you know, scare her. Like I would probably do it. Like, I mean, it's not like, what is he afraid of Steve coming after him or something, you know, like shake the tree, see what falls out.
Well, I was like, as a lawyer, I don't know, maybe in this particular case, don't dare the cop to arrest your client.
Yeah. So winter 99, Megan's going in Luke's bathroom to like take a shower, and then she like randomly sees in like a towel rack that like, oop, there's like that like teal bikini that Isabel is wearing like way back when. It even flashes back to that scene with the fireworks just to be like, oh yes, this bikini. And it's like, what is this doing here? And it's like, obviously, Megan, they fucked. Like, I don't know what to tell you, you know, like, is like whatever you're thinking, it probably happened because you guys weren't dating then. And like, has this seriously never come up before? Like, it'd be one thing if we'd seen a scene where Megan, like, you know, the Luke and Isabella broke up and Isabella's like, you should be dating him. Like, me and him never did anything or whatever, you know, like something where it's like, oh, you actually lied or something. But no, out of nowhere, seemingly, Megan's really going to care that like they used to date.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, he may or may not be like masturbating while like sniffing her bikini or something. Mm-hmm. I would not in there. Put it past because it's in his bathroom, like right
in,
where like,
something in a towel rack or something.
It's like in a prominent spot on the towel rack too. But yeah, so there's like this weird, like, is it supposed to be artistic shot of her semi-reflected in glass?
We're doing a lot of mirrors in this episode, yeah.
But like, there's shots where like there is no mirror there. Mm-hmm. What are we doing here?
Yeah, we're doing like, something.
Or is somebody watching them? I don't know. So summer 99, you know, on that bar, there's some bad music playing. Everyone's dancing. It's not exactly a dive bar. The place feels very 80s coded.
Yeah, this isn't really a dive bar at all, but they're giggling. This is so much fun. They definitely look like they're underage, you know, and like they're way too excited to be there.
Well, Megan is like a pig in shit in this place.
This is even better than I expected. Yeah.
It smells like sweat and beer, but in a good way. Also, as far as bars of a dance floor go, this place is empty.
Yeah. Isabella orders a Cuba Libre and then it says like, make that two for my friend here. And she's like, you don't have to drink, you know, just like carry it around. It'll make you look cool or whatever. And then he like serves him the drink and he's like already taken care of when they try to pay. And it like cuts to this just like supreme loser. This is like one of the only times I laughed in the episode. It's like this fucking guy. I don't know where they found this guy.
So this guy's on IMDb. His name is Frankie Cottrell. He's playing smarmy guy.
Has he done any other work?
He's done a couple small bits.
Okay. But he's got like long hair and he looks like a dork and he's like kind of holding up his beer like cheers. I they're just like, that's so cool. I'm taking the drink and like ignoring him completely.
It's not even a full cheers. It's like ladies.
Yeah.
Like he's gonna like
dirty and sweaty in all the wrong ways. Yeah.
Yeah. So they get their drinks and Megan asks like what's in the drink, and she's like, rum's like, or Isabel's like, it's a rum and coke of lime, which is exactly
I can't tell you what's in this drink without telling you about that time in Barcelona with Lisa. Yeah.
God, we thought we were so sophisticated. Hemingway used to drink these. And she's like, really? I love The Sun Also Rises. So either Isabella killed Lisa, or Rebecca's never actually met the real Isabella, and this is Lisa, right?
That seems too like interesting, Rebecca, for the show. Like
Rebecca gets a call
like
from the parents.
Like a Dickie from... Yeah.
Like, because the whole thing is Patty Highsmith and Talented Mr. Rippey. But it's like, Rebecca gets a call from the parents. Our daughter's in trouble. She's going to be here. She's black. And so she shows up and there's this girl and she's like, hi, what's up? I'm Isabella now. So
that
Megan
seems too interesting for a show. I would enjoy that. I don't think they'll go there just because, like, that would suggest that they had some sort of idea.
Yeah. So Megan says that it should be, you know, her first with Isabelle as well. And Isabelle's like, well, if you want to do first, a couple we could hit later. Yeah. You know what
so
I
we're
mean?
We're doing the bad girls dance here, kind of. They're just like holding one hand up high together and like holding their drinks in the other. I don't really know what this is, but sure. Then it's like kind of flashing white in the lights. And then we like pan down from the bleached out sky of winter 99. It's definitely we're outside grilling in the winter. In the Pacific Northwest, we're just grilling some steaks.
Would have like such heavy coats on.
He has a light sweater on and she has like a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah. So Megan is like venting about Isabelle having like $5,000 in cash on her. And he's like defending her like, oh, this came from a good place. And so she's
suddenly
like,
Megan's just going to be suspicious of Isabelle this episode, like kind of out of nowhere.
Well, she's like, well, it felt like she was treating my family like we're a charity. And I want to be like, you are.
Yeah. Presumably, you're getting paid something for having her live with you for a year, right?
Speaking of Festivus, we're making a donation in your name to the Human Fund, otherwise known as Debbie and her family. So he mentioned that he and Isabelle like talked about it, that he and Isabelle talk about a lot of things that Megan's not aware of because they're friends. You know, they're friends who fucked. So Megan starts to shut him out, says that, you know, she should not expect either him or Isabelle to understand that she works her ass off.
Poor little rich boys, yeah.
Yeah, busting off tables for years and like the second a pipe bursts, all that money's gone. It's not even enough for repair.
He's like, I get it.
And she's like, how? And she's like, she points out that a window gets smashed here. It's fixed overnight like nothing happened. Same thing with Isabelle. Something goes wrong and somebody just writes a check. So he hears all this and he's just like, what's going on?
And she's like, nothing. Just forget it. Just storms off.
I am shocked they didn't do like the thing that you would have done in bad 90s writing for their boyfriend like this, where he's just like, oh, babe, are you on the rag? You know, or something shitty like that. So, summer 99. The boys are
dudes are
in
stuck
the car.
In Luke's car, just being like, man, they're really going to leave us out here in the cold? It's like 70 degrees. He's like, this one's on you, dude. Jeff is saying, like, you fucked it up.
This is the awkward scene where they try to decide which one of them is going to jerk off first while the other watches.
Yeah.
The 5 or the 10.
It's a weird scene where Luke's just like, so, you and Megan been hanging out? He's just like, yeah. He's like, we used her computer for the IDs. She has a great setup. I mean, I knew that she was good.
Yeah, she does.
That. Seeing her in action.
And he's just, that's not even a euphemism. It's just this is a huge dork. Luke points out that Jeff sucks at numbers. Jeff's like, I'm dyslexic, you
this
moron.
This is such a weird exchange. You suck at numbers. I'm dyslexic. Wow. Douche chill.
He's still copied off me at math. And then Luke's like, I got pretty good grades, yo.
And they both laugh about it, like, ha, 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 that's funny. My dyslexic friend.
It's like sometimes the writing is like kind of like a fucking Dan Harmon show. But serious. So Luke comes, he says that it's cool that Jeff and Megan are hanging out or whatever, but
it's totally okay if you fuck, I'm down with it.
So Isabelle like goes into Brent's room and starts like snooping around. Megan comes in, like she's heading into this direction, like...
Yeah, I don't know why Megan was coming in here anyway, but sure. But she's
it
like,
it feels like this room is at the end of a hall.
Yeah, she's like, what are you doing? Snooping around, Isabelle. And she's like, looking for more tapes or something. And then, like, Isabella's just going to have lots of attitude and be like, oh, here's your bikini, by the way. You know, like it was in or Luke's Megan, bathroom closet. Yeah.
So Megan starts assuming that Isabelle might have been fooling around with Luke. Like, you know,
why
hey,
would she
kinda...
intuit this?
Because she's, I don't know.
Because Isabelle's like, I'm sorry, what are you getting at? And Megan's just like, you know, there's been some overlap with you and Luke or something. You have feelings with him. You should tell me and I'll deal. And she's like, how can you possibly say that to me? I've been getting people calling me a slut constantly because I took the fall for you and I thought I could count on you and I'm doing this all for you. What the fuck?
Well, it's so funny. It's like I find Isabella's general thing in the Winter 99 stuff to be pretty manipulative of Megan, but like, this time it's almost earned.
Well, because it comes out of nowhere with Megan. You're just like, why the fuck are you now like kind of accusing me of, you know, cheating? Like after this whole sex tape business, and you would think they would be on the same page by now, you know?
He's like, well, here's the thing, hun. When I was about your age, I was also diagnosed with fatalistic moron disease. The nice thing is it kind of evens out when you get to my age and you're just ho-hum about everything. Nothing bothers you. I have a plate in my head.
Yeah. Anyway, Megan's or Isabel storms off and Megan's just like, wow, was I the asshole there?
Do you need me to kill for you? Which is like a lesbian second date. And these two have already had a lesbian first date, which is they moved in together.
The U-Haul. Yeah.
Yeah. So after the commercial, summer 99, Megan and Isabel get shots tequila, which is Megan's first, of course. Isabel says that she and her ex used to do body shots, and then she explains what those are. So Megan's like, ooh, that sounds sexy and kind of disgusting. Yeah. So all Meg goes to the bar.
My favorite scene in the whole episode.
Yes, I fucking jeered. Yeah, she goes to the bar to get some water, and then...
And then, who should walk in the background wearing just like a tight t-shirt, showing off the guns? Yeah. But the sheriff, my man... He just walks in. He seemingly looks right at Megan, but like doesn't register her or something. But it's like he is just here to like get his fucking swerve on and like have a good time. And
no, I was he's just here like, for his bookie.
Yeah, he's here for his bookie. Yeah. But I was like briefly so excited. I was like, fuck yeah. Like this is going to be an awesome scene right now.
I was waiting for the bartender to be like, good to see you again, Jack. And the sheriff's like, my usual.
Yes. I'm just like, can the camera follow that guy? And can I just watch that show now where it's like the sheriff has to deal with a bookie and he really needs the fucking Mariners to win tonight or something? Like, I just, it's got to be more interesting than what we're watching.
He's just like, Ken Griffey, if you don't hit this homer, I'm going to shoot myself in the head. And then everyone in this bar. Yeah. So he's just like talking to his bookie by the pool table. Megan interrupts Isabella, who's like talking to some dude, and she's like, we got to get the fuck out of here. And
it they're it running does seem out, like the sheriff saw them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so winter 99, like Luke is like bringing the food to the table for this fucked up family dinner. The art on their walls is so generic.
Yeah, like a hotel.
Yeah, Luke, Megan, and Isabella are there, and like Brent comes in, he's like pissed off at them because he's grounded. He calls Luke a dildo for turning him in, which is like,
well, shouldn't you have kind of like addressed the awkwardness here before you just had a family dinner? It's like we're all working on the assumption that my one son leaked a sex tape of you and my other son to the whole city, and we're just like not going to acknowledge it and have dinner together like it's a normal thing.
If Steve is truly blindsided by this, he is bad at business. But like the show makes a big thing about like, ooh, like the new parlance, the new slang we've got. It's like we've got podcasts. Calling somebody a dildo isn't cool or funny anymore, dildos. So Brent calls Isabel a movie star. She calls him a predator. And he's like, ooh, I like when you call me this. This is a scene, too, where I feel like maybe they've written three episodes of the show and they finally watch some of season one and they're like, oh, we should actually address some issues.
But it's like, it's cartoonish. But, like, the Brent character doesn't, like, it's like, I know he's supposed to be, like, a gross misogynist, but, like, you're somehow, like, making it seem less than it is just because he's so goofy. Yeah. You know, like misogynists certainly exist, but they're not just like a cliche like this guy is, you know, it's like there's no depth to it at all. It doesn't seem like a real person who is representative of like a real issue that people go through, you know?
Right. Right. So Megan's unleashing on him, speaking of which, saying that she used to think this was all, the whole thing was an act. He was just super damaged and overcompensating, but she's like, I'm done making excuses for you. You've gone too far.
When has she ever made excuses for him in the past?
Well, I guess in her car ride home.
Yeah. That one time she's like, his mom died.
Yeah.
He used to be cool.
So Brent's like, God, when are you guys going to get over this? It's not that big of a deal. Also, like you would think at some point Brent would drop, by the way, I didn't film you two.
Yeah. Why not just be like, it wasn't me? But no, yeah.
Yeah. So we get this shot that's like looking at Isabella through a reflection somewhere. Like there's two of her. Which
all these bad reflections. Yeah. And then at some point he's like, get off your high horse, you slut. And it's just like, ugh. It's disgusting. And it like... In the face of it, yes, is the disgusting character, but also like this just isn't how this kind of conversation would go. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't seem real.
There's also an interesting apple not falling not too far from the tree with the same simplistic moral view from Steve in like 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like Brent goes on a whole thing about like, you know, Isabella, if you weren't looking for like sloppy seconds behind Megan's back, which again, I would think confirms that he did not film the tape. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you filmed the tape, presumably you would know. And then I hate to say this because the show is so dumb. It's so like ill-defined in its own mystery. Are we saying that the person who filmed the tape is also the person who leaked the tape at the party?
I don't know. But like Megan, this episode is like suddenly it's as though she believes the tape is real suddenly. And it's like, oh, wait, are you fucking my boyfriend behind my back? But it's like, you know that was you on the tape, right? Like, why are you acting like it wasn't?
Yeah. And I just don't believe that these many characters, knowing the truth that it's Megan, not Isabella, could keep up the whole, like, you've wronged Isabella thing. Like, even Debbie, who I don't think can keep two thoughts in her head at the same time. But also, I like to point out, we don't see Luke's face for most of this because he actually did the leaking, I'm sure. But this is when Steve Chambers, like, walks in and stops this.
After we've just been getting, like, just, like, straight out of vein misogyny. Just, like, kind of, like, really blatant, ugly misogyny for, like, you know, a shouting match. Yeah. And then Steve walks in and he's just like, guys, enough. Sit down. Let's eat dinner. You're just like, what? Like, you can't just sit down after that. Like, what the fuck?
Well, and Debbie shows up like she's just like, I don't know, taking the wrong pill. And she's got like a jolt in her stuff. She's like ready to be involved. And Steve's like, let's just try to have a nice meal. So summer 2000 in Megan's room, Megan's like chilling on her bed, listening to a song on her headphones. When like upset Debbie comes in and like smacks the headphones off her head. Which it's like, who are you, Debbie? Like, where has this been? She's upset that Megan knew that Luke was running away and didn't say anything. How could you let Steve suffer like that? It's like, we're about to see what a douchebag Steve is. And I just don't believe that, like, Debbie would be that bothered, but whatever. So Megan says she was trying to protect Luke. And she's like, oh, was Luke in some kind of trouble? And Megan's like, Luke was freaked out. He didn't say much. He just had to get away for a while.
I'm sorry, Mom. I can't tell you more. It's only episode 4. We're really trying to string this along. So I just have to be really vague about everything.
I haven't gotten the script for episode 8 yet, Mom. Mm-hmm. All right.
The writers actually haven't totally decided what happened that night. So
yeah.
Do you think this room or this show? Do you think the show had one of those mini rooms where they just like
that we're striking about right now?
Yeah, because it kind of feels like it because it's so poorly rendered. Like the mystery aspect, it feels like something where they like got a collection of plot points once. And then like broke the writer's room. And then they're like, it was just like up to like a few people to write everything on their own. And it doesn't have that mystery vibe where it's like, they've made sure everything completely connects together. Like they're not doing their
work. There was a show that we podcasted about that was essentially a mini room, broke their 10 episode season, you know, sent the scripts off, got noted to death. But by that point, I think most of the writers were let go, contracts over. Mm-hmm. So the showrunner had to, you know, rewrite it to death to get it made. And sometimes it's bad notes from like the studio or whatever. Sometimes it's like, we don't have this location or this day or this person on this time. So you're having to like squeeze that together.
Mystery writing is really hard. And it's not something where you can, even if you think you have it mapped out, once you get into it, you have to go back so many times and be like, wait, I didn't realize that this doesn't add up. I need to explain this away.
From every angle.
I need to set up this away. Yeah, this angle doesn't work. Look, we fucking know this from experience. We've written 3 mystery novels. You know, we're not talking out of our ass here. Like, it's hard work, and it seems clear that they didn't have enough time to get this right. Like, it just seems like incredibly half-assed.
Do you think this show isn't teaching us how to make a TV show?
No.
I don't know what that comment means. I've been thinking about it for like 4 days straight.
Wait, what comment?
The one we got tweeted at. It's like, guys, the show isn't teaching you how to make a TV show.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Is that like about, is that because we're dumb or is the show dumb? Are we both dumb? I don't know who's dumb here.
I don't know what that means. The show's not.
I don't know how upset to be.
How am I not myself?
How am I not myself? So yeah, Debbie softens and she's like, oh, gee, Megan, I wish you told me. It's too much to carry on your own. Anyway.
Well, it's like he was really scared about what? I don't know. Okay.
Just like stuff, man. Yeah, Megan says that like Luke showed her the letter. She's supposed to put it in Steve's mailbox after she dropped Luke off the train station. This is when she got back to the cabin after work, Luke wasn't there. So she says that for months after he left, every time the phone rang, she thought it was going to be him, but it wasn't. And she sniffles a little bit.
Why didn't you tell the police this? There's nothing incriminating there.
Yeah.
Are they going to follow up on like what she said about going back later? I don't even know. Yeah.
Well, it's fucking dumb because does your lawyer know this? Mm-hmm. I know you need a scene of your mom. It's like, or so he just tendered his resignation. So winter 99, we're back to this awkward dinner.
Also, did her and Isabella ever, quote unquote, get their story straight? Because it seems as though Megan is like making it up as she goes, kind of as though like she didn't know what to say earlier because she hadn't thought of a lie yet or something. I don't know. Like, but I think we're supposed to take it seriously when she's like, every time the phone rang, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think so. Because she doesn't seem like a very good liar. You know what I mean? So like, are we supposed to take this as a truth from her that she didn't think he was dead or something?
I almost want to a spinoff that I would do to all these shows is kind of in the vein of American Vandal season 2, where like Spencer Hastings just goes to random towns where like 2 girls have gotten themselves in a scrape like this. And she just like sits them down and like coaches them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. You never improvise. What are you doing? You want to make it fun? It's like her and Jerry Seinfeld.
All right, look, you're going to need
the makeup
this.
Sex.
You're going to need this. She starts handing out some Adderall.
Oh, we're going to be up all night. We're going to be up all night for like 6 months. You like pills? Because you're going to have some. Talk about girl dinner.
Can we not do a PLL like reunion or not, you know, like PLL movie or something? Like, there's got to be something. There's got to be something they could do that would be fun.
When our
I feel like all these actors are more or less available.
When our brains get frequently broken and we go to our happy place while recording these episodes, mm-hmm. we'll just hash out each week.
I mean, just think about like, what is Spencer Hastings doing right now? Like,
I think about that all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. Well, I was just shocked. Like, say what you will for like some of the movies she does. Lucy Hale has never stopped working since that show has ended.
No, I mean, she's like she's classic, all over the place. Young professional actor who's been working since she was like, you know, like a teenager. Like, yeah.
I'm worried that she's like on an arc that will eventually crash land into like Lifetime or not mm-hmm. Lifetime, but like Hallmark.
Yeah.
Christmas movies. Like she's
eventually going to, right now.
She's going to be on an airplane that's flying into like Christmas movie season. And she's going to kick Rachel Lee Cook out. And be like,
oh no,
it's mine, bitch. So Winter 99, an awkward dinner. Steve's at the head of the table. We got Luke and Brenna on one side, Debbie, Megan, Isabel on the other. It's quite possible from the way this is edited and like framed that Debbie has not been eating the whole time and just been sitting there stewing. Like she's like waiting for someone to ask
hoping
her.
Hoping for Steve to notice. Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally she's like, well, I think that Brent owes Isabel an apology and Luke too. So Steve nods. He's like, yeah, all right, Brent, do it.
So well, Brent's like, okay, come on. Like, these aren't real people. I'm sorry.
No, they're not. Brent's apologizing like he's passing a stone. Mm-hmm. Megan would like more. Debbie actually adds in some genuine like remorse would be nice.
Why like, is he seemingly like taking the fall for this? It's weird, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, does he think he's taking the fall because the other tapes?
Yeah.
Or yeah. Is he so dumb where he's like, I don't know, maybe I filmed. Like mm-hmm. technology wise, how would you even film them if you weren't there? Like
what I really hate about this particular plot line is that it makes me think of Veronica Mars, and there's a similar kind of like tape. And that, yeah. And that was like so much better done than this trash.
Yeah, yeah. So Steve and Luke just want everyone to like let it go and to have like a nice dinner. And Megan says no, not until Brent admits that he filmed those girls without telling him. And Luke is like, do we have to do this now? Here?
Hasn't he already seemingly admitted it to it though? Right? Like, what is he apologizing for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the first that Debbie's hearing that there might be more than one tape. And then Megan's like, oh yeah, he's quite the filmmaker. And she turns to Steve, she's like, you must be so proud. And Debbie's like, Steve, did you know? And he's like, yeah, I found out a couple of days ago. And Debbie turns to Brett.
So awful. God. She's like, I can't stand this character. Not only does he like suck as a person, but like as a character, he's so blah. Like he's just like, mom, 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 mom. Yeah.
Yeah. She's just like, Debbie's like to Brett, she's like, Your mother would be so ashamed of you.
Your dead mother would be so ashamed of you.
She's dead, Brett, yeah. And ashamed. She died of the shame retroactively.
He's just like, Debbie. And she's like, I can't believe you're not more upset. And he says, okay, you know what? Brent made a serious lapse in judgment, and he's been punished. End of story.
Story. Debbie, caring about something for the first time in her life, yeah. Is like, he filmed these kids without their knowledge, Steve, without their consent. This is more than a lapse in judgment. This is criminal. Also, I just heard about this.
I need you to not question my parenting in front of my children.
So she goes on about how he's like, you know, letting Brent coast for a few months, and Steve's just like, hey, I had Jack Meyer back off, which is why it's like going not going on Brent's permanent record.
Let's
and Brent is making
privately.
Brent is making a straight up neener, neener, neener face at her.
Yeah, yeah.
So she points out that Brent needs some like lasting consequences. And so Steve is like, oh, I am shitty. He's like, since when are you the morality police? Since Keith got you pregnant, you didn't marry him twice. Not the same thing.
And then Isabel is like, don't talk to her like that. And Luke's like, guys, let's calm down. And Megan's like, are you defending him? Which yeah. I don't think he was really, but sure, whatever, you know. And then Megan or Isabel says, it's not Luke's fault. And Megan's like, can you stay out of this? So it's has nothing to do with you. So it's like suddenly, oh no, like all this kind of, you know, strife is coming to the surface at Festivus dinner.
Yeah. Well, Luke is like, I saw a tornado come in. I put a bunch of shit down in front of it. Now it's a shit storm. And who could be involved? Who could be responsible for this?
Well, yeah. Debbie says, at least I take responsibility for my actions. I don't just sweep things under the rug to protect my social status. And Steve's just like, wow, you fucking burn me.
Well, Brent, under his breath, is like, ah, you're going to regret that one, Debo. So WC was just like, I know that reputation is everything to you. This is what we get when you pride her as the chamber's name over your family. Dave's like, hope it was worth it.
She stands up, like throws her napkin down and walks off. And like, she seems to just be going upstairs though, not out the front door, which I don't understand how a relationship can continue after this dinner scene. Well, it seems like this would kind of be the end of a relationship.
I guess she's got her bag, but also because of the editing, Megan is looking at Steve, giving him like a yeah, bitch kind of face in the close up. And then the wider shot, she's like staring daggers at Isabel, who's on the other side of the room, while Steve Chambers is just cutting his meat.
He's just like,
this guy, this actor is doing, this guy's doing three kinds of acting, grief acting, business guy acting, and cutting his meat acting. So summer 99, girls.
But
are
like after you watch this scene where you're like, well, I guess they broke up.
Yes.
But seemingly not. So yeah, the girls come out of the pub running away because they think the sheriff might saw them. So they
also getting a look at it. There's a lot of neon signage in this pub. It's all in a different font. This is just hard to look at.
Yeah. What if it was called the Brown Note instead of Brownsville?
So the girls are very excited about all this and they get in the backseat of the car and they tell Luke to floor it because Sheriff Myers is in there and he might have seen them.
I feel like there could have been an opportunity here for like, whenever you have two people who've been drinking and like two people who haven't, like, I feel like there's going to be a little bit of tension there, you know, because it's like, you're having a giggly good time and we just kind of been stuck out here in the car. You know what I mean? Like the vibe's weird.
Watching each other drink it.
But so, no, they just speed away and they do the thing where it's like they're having a conversation in the car and Luke keeps like turning around to talk, even though he's driving. It just drives me completely nuts anytime they do this. And I think the reason it happens is because they're obviously not filming while driving. And so the actors don't care enough to keep their eyes on the road, but it makes me insane every time I see it.
Yeah. I think the guy who plays Jeff, which I don't think this reference will work for you, but like on New Girl, whenever they would show Winston, like flashback Winston, he was like a total dork. That's kind of what the Jeff guy is doing. Like, you know, oh, I'm not a virgin, babe. Just my penis is a virgin. Well, like, I feel like he's like never been around a girl. Now that she's a little intoxicated, he's just like, ooh, something might happen. We might kiss.
They were painting him as very sinister in the last episode.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's kind of a creep. But here he seems like it's like they have their first kiss. We'll see in a bit. And it's all seems pretty innocent. Yeah. So I don't really know what they're doing with this character.
Like, it just seems like he has not a lot of social experience.
Yeah. He's just like a guy who hides behind his video camera. Yeah.
Yeah. So Isabella makes a comment, you know, of the rum and the coke and the tequila, like, oh, Megan did it all like a boss. Not something we were saying in the 90s whatsoever. And Luke's getting a little pissy. He would like to have been there to see Megan having her first drink. And she's like,
I can't believe I missed the first time he got drunk.
The night's too early. Does that have to end yet? Let's go pick up like a 6-pack of beer, which will be a real lame downer to this party. So we cut to, like, they don't have a mini bar at the Chambers house.
Well, that's the same beer they're drinking before, so I assume they just have a lot at the house.
But I mean, like,
liquor before beer, you're in the clear, you know? I guess it's fine.
But I'm just saying, just go make some more Cuba Libres.
Mm-hmm.
So winter 99, back at Megan's house, Debbie and Megan are looking up the hole in the kitchen. It's like still dripping. So presumably this is after the dinner they just came home. Debbie says that maybe they should take Isabella's offer as a loan. Megan's a firm no, and Debbie's like, well, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just going to fill up the bathtub and like get in there with a toaster.
Megan already feels too much in debt to her for, you know, taking the fall or whatever. Like suddenly Megan is like on the outs with Isabella. She doesn't like her anymore. Kind of out of nowhere. It's like Luke made one offhand comment about like having a conversation with Isabella when Megan wasn't present. And like ever since then, she's been on the warpath.
Yeah. So the phone rings and Megan answers it. On the line is some dude. She'd be like, go back to where you came from, you skanky dirty hoe.
What is the purpose of this, really? They just feel the need they had to show it at least once to be like, look what Isabella is like taking the fall for or something.
It's poorly executed to do that.
It doesn't go anywhere. Like the phone rings again. She's like, you better get it. It could be like, I don't know, who she say it is? It could be Luke or something. Yeah.
Or Steve.
Or Steve. Yeah. Or, and she answers Steve, again. And it's just some guy going, cheating bitch. And she's just like, hang up.
So 100%. This is either Brent or like Brent's best bud, or it's like Steve like called one of his employees and was like, I want you to call this number online and just say misogynistic things. Can you do that for me? Get it done. So, you know,
stupid tape. It's ruining everything.
Yeah. And so Debbie, you know, says like, this cover story is putting a lot of pressure on both of you. Your friendship. Are you sure it's worth it? And I know she's talking about the cover story, but for a moment I was like, are you saying is the friendship worth it? Mm-hmm. It's not.
And Megan's just like, it better be. It's my future. And once again, we're just reminded, wait, it makes no sense at all why you felt the need for like Isabel to take the fall for you for the sex save. Like, yeah. It's not going to impact your college acceptance in any way at all.
So Megan asks if Debbie and Steve are going to be okay. Like, why would you care? You should hate that guy. You should hate
No, they're not going to be okay. Like, honey, I just broke up with him. What are you talking about? Like, you don't come back from that. But no, apparently you do. The guy just writes a check for your plumbing. And you're like, she's all good.
Well, she says, I don't know. Love isn't always enough. You also have to see the world in the same way.
Mm-hmm. Or at least get paid for plumbing.
Yeah. So December 99. Meanwhile, the four nerds are back at Luke's house drinking beers. By that
Megan
bar.
Calls Man, Isabella her cocktail sensei.
They fucking love this outdoor bar thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Illa says that there will be like plenty of good times to come. Luke asks, like, what happened to his friend Megan? And she's just like, well, I'm still here. I'm just living in the now. And Jeff's like, looks really good on you. So he asks to go for to go walk for him. And this is where we see that beyond the outdoor bar, there's goddamn tennis courts on this property.
Oh, it's because this is a fucking senior living facility. And they're at like the clubhouse patio.
Yeah.
So like apparently, I'm sure off to the side, there's like a fucking shuffleboard court or something.
It's a pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently it rained at some point and Megan laughs and says that it was a shame that they couldn't use his fake ID because it was perfect. And he's like, honestly, the whole thing was worth it. Just to spend time with you. You did not spend time with her. You spent time with Luke.
In the car. Yeah. So they kiss over the tennis net and Luke is like talking to Isabella here, but he's like looking past her and watching them kiss.
Yeah.
And like, as Megan's talking about, like, she's describing the dance floor. The dance floor, it wasn't, like, that big, but it didn't matter because the drinks were so strong and Megan was on fire. And he's like, I'm just watching my platonic friend who I maybe have feelings for make out with some other dude. And he's like, sorry, yeah, what were you saying?
I just realized that she's, like, hot as fuck, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, also, the last word on Jeff, I will say, is an actual word from the 90s, sprung.
Boing.
My boy is sprung. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then, like, Luke, like, turns to like Isabel, like he wants to prove before she catches him that he actually is into her, and so like he like kisses her to make it like he actually cares about her, and he smiles like a dork, like a big like I just kissed a girl smile. I would be hard pressed to believe that Luke has ever kissed more than two girls prior to this.
More than the actresses that he's contractually obligated to kiss.
Yes.
I mean the Luke character.
The Luke character, yes. No, the actor, unfortunately.
I don't think he's kissed anyone before Isabel. I don't know.
Quite possibly. Yeah. The expression that I'd never heard.
Do you think Steve's the kind of guy who like takes his son to a whorehouse when he's 14 or something like that and tells him we got to make a man out of you?
Definitely with Brent.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, also, I'm going to teach you economics. Here's what a cover chart, how that works. The expression that I never heard before until Raylo fanfic, which is touch starved.
Mm. I like that word.
Yeah. Summer 2000 in Megan's house. Debbie opens the door and there's Sheriff Jack Meyer. He's got a warrant for Megan's computer and he's just like, bet me I won't serve this warrant.
We have reason to believe it contains evidence of fraud. And Megan's just like, fraud? Like, wait, you can't go through my stuff. And it's like running after him. It's like, okay. So cut to commercial and then we come back. The police are leaving with the computer. So the warrant search has happened.
When I was on IMDb and I saw the name of, This Garrett Reynolds deputy, mm-hmm. his name is Hal Hardwick.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like a fake name.
Sounds like a fucking indie film director.
So the cops drive away, presumably with the computer, and then it like cut to Megan watching from her trailer, Isabel watching from the trailer, giving that same expression she's been giving for four episodes now in the 2000 summer, where it's just like, what is this? Is this scorn? Is this intrigue? Like, what am I getting? What am I supposed to be thinking is going on between these characters? They never interact or really talk to each other. So, show.
Yeah. So, summer 99, Megan and Isabella are sitting on the floor together in Megan's room. They're in that, like, Requiem for a Dream pose that Jared Leto and Jennifer Connelly are in. And, like, Megan's, like, talking about how Jeff kissed her. And Isabella's like, how was it? Did, like, your whole body light up like a pinball machine? And Megan's like, no.
Not exactly, but I can't wait to do it again. And so they like kind of reach back and high five each other. That's my girl. Yeah, sure. That's what happens next. Do I call him? Just try to enjoy the moment.
Yeah. You suck in a bar, drink like a pro, kiss a cute guy. It doesn't get much better than that. So Megan doesn't want the night to end and tells Isabel that she should like sleep over. This is not much of a sleepover. She lives 10 feet away.
I feel like this kind of like mythologizing the moment in the moment thing is a much more like millennial thing than kids in the 90s, late 90s were doing. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah. But here's the thing that I'm also thinking about too, that's never really occurred to me for three episodes now. If Isabella has to take a shit, She has to walk out of the fucking walk across the yard and back into the house.
I mean, unless they gave her a bucket, like a chamber pot.
Like, let's say she's got some hot beer shits in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. Oof. Yeah, she better sleep over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, Isabel says she would love to as long as Megan doesn't snore when she drinks. And then we get another fucking giggle fit out of Megan. Like she's like a giggle grenade and they pull the pin and threw her into this episode. Summer 2000.
Do you think maybe it was a miscalculation to try to have Sadie Stanley play this kind of like cyberpunky like 2000? Yes. Like whole era doesn't really work for her.
Because it's 2000s is why they're doing it. But my question for you is, why isn't she grunge?
Well, I mean, it's 2000, you know. I mean, mean like back it up to the early 90s or something?
Yeah. Why not? You're in fucking Seattle, basically.
Yeah that's true.
The goddamn epicenter. Mm-hmm. Like, let's hear more about slackers and complain about coffee shop people.
I heard about
and,
this
like,
new band. They're called Pearl Jam. Yeah.
Are you guys watching Friends? You heard of this guy named Chandler Bing? Could he be any more funny? Yeah. Summer 2000, Megan's on the phone with someone really fired up, telling them the sheriff took her computer this morning. Presumably this is the Wozniak guy out in the woods or C. Babbage. I don't know.
This is probably like, the dude that she was selling stuff to, maybe. In the pilot, yeah.
My question is she just like hacking grades and making them better? Because she's like,
Do we get to the grade thing yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, yeah.
She's like, there's stuff on it. Like, it'd be really bad if they find it. So she says that she did something to the computer twice. She took every precaution. She just doesn't know if she got the code right. So meanwhile, the police station, the sheriff has his computer guy going through Megan's old Windows computer, looking at a bunch of log files, and the guy tries one. And the sheriff's like,
the sheriff's just like, try that one.
Well, what I like about the way the sheriff actor plays it is he plays it like every scene he's in of a subordinate is basically a monologue, regardless if they have dialogue. Because he's like, maybe it will give us some idea what she was up to the day before Luke's murder.
I can't even tell you how happy I was to see him for like 2 seconds in that bar scene, like wearing a tight t-shirt. I was just like, hell yeah.
This guy's great. Mm-hmm. This guy, well, I mean, especially in the absence of any other performances to hang a hat on.
He's just flying like 30,000 feet higher than the rest of these people.
Well, I feel like he's just like, man, I did time in soap operas. I know how to fucking put that camera on me.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some like kind of virus on there, according to the computer guy. We see a couple of files.
It's a real lot of like, wait, something's happening. Tap, 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 tap. Oh no, I've been hacked, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I love too is it's like three of the files, like out of the 15 or so that we see. So winter 99, Megan comes downstairs, presumably it's the next day. The plumber is working away on this hole. So this is Christmas Eve.
Yes, of course.
The plumber's working on Christmas Eve, of course. Mm-hmm. So Megan guesses that her mom convinced the plumber, and she's like, never called them. Steve sent them. I guess it's his way of apologizing.
And she's happy with that? Like, okay, we didn't want to take his money before. We didn't want to take Isabella's money. It's like, we didn't want to take dad's money in the previous episode about a lawyer, but now you're like, I'm totally okay with this guy paying me off for being a complete shitheel at dinner the other night. Well, and they're like, right on.
Where is your speech about like, the only way you can get something out of this like fucked up misogynistic world is like letting these assholes pay for you and then you give them nothing in return? Like, where is your moral high ground and backbone, Debbie? You showed some at dinner. Now you're caving.
Well, Debbie
like
says
crazy.
His way of trying to apologize. And Megan smiles like, cool. Yeah.
Megan's like, way to go, mom. Mm-hmm. Way to stick it to the man. So Megan then goes through the mail, the Christmas Eve mail. We see that her report card's there. She's got a bunch of A's and one C+.
Why would you be getting a report card at this time? I don't know.
Yeah, seriously. That semester is over. So the mom asks if there's anything like good in the mail, and Megan says that's just junk mail.
Do we see what... I'm trying to see if we see the subject. We don't, but
you,
like...
You can see the teacher's name.
What are we... it's Hutchinson. What are we to make of this? Whatever class this is, it's...
Well, they mentioned earlier that she's the honor roll student. So I presume this has to do with her scholarship.
It's not calculus or chemistry, I can tell you that. But like, so in one class, she got a C+ and 7A. Everything else is A. So like, we've never seen her in school on this show.
Right.
I don't think assuming that what we're supposed to take from this is like, oh, she was like a little bit more of a wild child this last semester because she had a boyfriend and maybe she slacked off.
And Isabella.
Yeah, and Isabella's influence. But it's like all A's and one C. You know, like if it was like a bunch of C's, I feel like that would be communicated better. Instead, I'm just like, well, what class was this?
I can only presume that we're going to find out that like this is actually the real danger that she got herself into that threatens her scholarship because it's contingent on her getting all A's throughout senior year something.
I mean, usually colleges kind of stop caring by senior year.
Yeah.
Well, other than like stuff like valedictorian. Yeah. Like
especially when, by the end of the first semester.
For the UC, they really mostly cared about sophomore and junior year only. Like there was like they actually didn't accept credits like outside of that. I remember when I was like applying.
Because you don't have senior year credits. Also, I just love in general, Debbie presumably got the mail, but she's not going to read her own mail.
Yeah.
Like, this is Megan's job. So this, my question is this what the AOL PM on the report was about in the report card? Is she like hacking grades? Anyway.
What timeline was that? That was 99 summer, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So who even knows?
Yeah. I guess she wasn't getting bad grades yet. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Summer 2000, back in that police interrogation room, Sheriff Myers like starting the tape recorder, record the session. He's talking to Megan and Tom, and he
feels
like
we've had five interrogation scenes already.
But this is just like this actor is just like, here's my plate, here's my silverware, mm-hmm. now watch me eat. Mm-hmm. His dialogue is terrible, but I'm going to savor every bite. Like I'm fucking what's his name in The Matrix when the Agent Smith is offering me the deal.
Ignorance is bliss. Yeah, Joey Pants. I just received some information that sheds a whole new light on things. Even playing with it fast and loose with the truth. Let me paint a picture for you. January 1st, Luke disappeared without a trace. And you were the last person to see him alive. And she says, he ran away. That's your version of the events. His letter backs it up. The letter with your fingerprints on it. Because I was helping him. Were you? Or was it just part of a cover-up?
The lawyer's like, this sounds like a fairy tale.
Do you have a point? Because so far, this just sounds like a fairy tale. Yeah. So he's like, Luke was the love of your life, but by all accounts, your relationship was never the same after that sex tape. I mean, we're talking like a couple weeks, right? Like, yeah. Too many secrets. Too many lies. Yeah.
They all just rented sneakers.
Too many secrets. And it only got worse when he found out you were pregnant. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. This is news to Tom because everything is news to Tom with this client.
Mm-hmm.
So the sheriff says that like he believes, I mean, even like the lawyer in the first season was like a character, not a lot to do, but like a character. I believe them as a person. Mm-hmm. Tom is like a tie clip. It's a ginger tie clip. So sheriff says that he believes that she and Luke went to the cabin, that she told him he was pregnant, that Luke rejected the idea of a baby with her, a future with you. So you killed him. And we get some Megan face as she hears all that.
Yeah. And she's just making Megan face. And then that's the end of the episode. It's like, okay, show. Maybe that was supposed to be intriguing, like, oh no, she was pregnant, but like it just played so boring. I was like, whatever.
Yeah, really.
Really, wrap it up, Luke. All right, well, that was Spring and a Leak.
The next one is called All I Want for Christmas. That's a long list.
I mean, it's Christmas Eve in this episode, which they're like still doing like lawyer interviews, but sure. Yeah.
I mean, like, you should be on the outs of the Chambers family, so why would you be seeing them for Christmas? Whatever. It's still a week to go before this kid disappears.
I know. God, I was really hoping he'd be gone by now. That would, like, be more interesting.
Well, and I have a feeling that Jeff's going to be around in the Summer 99 stuff for a while, and I don't know why he would, because after the way you treated him in the winter stuff mm-hmm. of last week, it's like, okay, Jeff's done.
But I mean, like, it seems they haven't even started going out yet. Like they'll be going out in episode 5, and like, can they break up in the same episode, or do we need like one more episode before they break up? Like, when the fuck is she even going to get with Luke to begin with?
Yeah. It's like more than half the season. You're actually dating Jeff.
Yeah.
Maybe Jeff's the love of your life. Have you thought about that?
Whatever happened to the Parker character?
Also, what the Parker character, I feel like, was probably a definite, like, that character was supposed to be something else.
Well, because she, like, I think had kind of high billing, I want to say.
Yeah.
And then, like, they haven't done anything with her. Yeah.
I don't think we've seen her in 2 episodes.
We saw her in the previous one. She was.
Oh, briefly.
Yeah.
At the cabin. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she wasn't in this one at all. And she doesn't appear to be in the cast list for the next one. So who knows?
Justice for Parker. Mm-hmm. All right, folks, it's a show. I know I will say, There is a part of me that is somewhat excited whenever I click play on this show.
Really?
Because I'm just like,
I wish I could say the same.
How bad can it get? Mm-hmm. How? I mean, like, there's something about when you're watching it the first time and making fun of Debbie that just feels good, I have to say. And then the bizarre LOL of the guy at the bar.
Yeah. Well, as usual, if you'd like to support the pod, you can rate and review us in iTunes or your podcast app of choice. If you want to support us a little bit more, you can go to mynameistrouble.com where we have 3 murder mystery novels that are much more exciting, we promise, than this fucking boring ass TV show. If you'd like to see it done the right way, mynameistrouble.com, kind of teen detective mystery novels are all in a series. There's 3 of them out so far, working on the 4th one right now. If you've listened to this podcast and you're like, man, these guys really pay attention to the details, you want to see us, you know, put our money where our mouths are, check it out. mynameistrouble.com.
The show is not teaching us how to write a mystery novel.
No, it is not. Not indeed. All right. Well, until then, have a good one.
All right. Bye.
Thank you.